picture, man. Ain't no light to see. All those plans I made for myself, I got nobody else. Welcome to everyone joining us to experience stories of resilience, hope, perseverance, and joy.
Move over to a sport chair, basketball wheelchair.
Category of best video are...
We love you guys.
Welcome to the Big Biz Show, featuring insight, analysis, and a lot of stuff that's none of your business.
Hold on. This is the Big Biz Show. I think it is their business.
Making the markets work for you. Here's the man with the plan, Sully.
Hey, live from the Loft 100 Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show is on the air. Great to have you along today. Sully here. Costa there, 100 million broadcast television homes, radio stations across the country, as well as American Forces Network in 175 countries and all the ships at sea. And let's say a big hello to the day trader, Quattro!
One, two, three, four!
Wow, very good. Monsters of something. Happy birthday, Trace.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Did you celebrate your birthday last night?
I certainly did.
Did you? Because you look way hungover today.
So no.
I'm just too...
How old?
How old are you?
46.
The 26th anniversary of his 20th year.
Yes.
Is what he is. Are you the youngest one up there?
Guys? I believe
guys?
So. I think so.
Don't make me, because I'll do it, pal. Because I know.
Do it.
Because I know. I know.
Do it. Do it.
Here's the scariest part is I'm the oldest person on the stage. I'm 90% sure. Maybe, Mark, I think I got you, though. I think I may have you. Great to have you today. I'm going to kick it right off with one of my favorite guests, or one of our favorite guests, I should say. Randy Milby is the chairman and CEO of Hillstream Biopharma, and they are targeting drug-resistant cancers with a couple of lead drugs. And this is pretty earth-shattering and monumental stuff that these guys are doing. I'm happy to say that Randy can come on the air with us as his travel schedule and his schedule permits. So I love having him on a regular basis to talk about this. But Randy, welcome back, sir. How are you?
It's another happy day. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm going to go right to it because last time we were on the air, I got a lot of email asking about specifics on some of the therapies that you guys are developing there at Hillstream. Talk about specifics in terms of what types of cancers, because you talk about drug-resistant cancers. What does that mean exactly?
Well, as you know, when we talked last time too, I always like to start with a quote by Dr. Steven Rosenberg at the National Cancer Institute, because it really highlights what we're talking about. And this answers your question. He states that only 7% of patients with cancer are cured today, and that's by surgical removal.
Wow.
93% of patients will relapse and never be cured, and they ultimately die as a result of drug-resistant cancer cells. So what we're talking about here are a lot of cancers. Now, we're focused initially, Sully, on solid tumors like small cell lung cancer, triple negative breast cancer. We've just announced some collaborations where we're looking more at gastric cancer and some of these other metastatic cancers.
So basically what we're saying is that most cancers, by a degree of 93%, are drug resistant. So I guess the question would be, why are we even bothering with chemotherapy and those type of treatments at all if it's just ineffective? Is it just to prolong life? Because it certainly doesn't give any better quality of life, it seems.
Well, some of them, I think one thing that's changed a lot, Sully, is the advancement of the immuno-oncology space, where you're using your own body to help fight the cancer. And that's why you can see some of the recent collaborations that Hillstream has done is taking not only HSV-1216, which is our lead in ferroptosis, but combining it with some of these other drugs that are used in immuno-oncology. And to your point, listen, if you can give somebody a longer life and give them a better quality of life, and I think we're making more progress on all of these attributes every day.
Randy, I have to ask you, you have a lead drug. You also have what you call a platform. And I got a couple emails about that. Talk about the drug and then the delivery platform kind of, you know, in concert and, of course, separately as well, just so we can understand them.
So the drug is our lead drug, as you just said, is HSP-1216. And it works by this mechanism of ferroptosis, which is really just simply called iron-mediated cell death. What it does is it deprives those cancer cells. Those lower cells that you see in this picture, are those are metastatic. Those are the drug-resistant cancer cells. But you can see the white dots. There's a lot of iron. They're gluttons. They're addicted to that iron. Mm-hmm. And so what we do with 1216, it sops that up, if you will, deprives that cancer cell of that iron, and it ultimately dies. Now, the drug is actually in the quaternary, and it's a polymeric microparticle, and that is administered by an IV infusion.
So that's the delivery. So the drug is in the quaternary, which is, so the drug's the drug, and beg your pardon, the drug, HSP is the drug. The quaternary is the delivery, and it's inside of this quaternary, correct?
Wait.
Here we go.
Exactly right, Sully. And one of the new things that we've done, and you look on our website now, is this is a great example. So you can see that it's delivered by an IV infusion. It's taken up by the, in that tumor, by that leaky blood vasculature of the tumor. And once that drug within the quaternary, that delivery vehicle, it's like a Trojan horse.
Sure.
And then it gets taken up by the, they call it a lysosome. I call it the garbage disposal within the cancer cell. Mm-hmm. And that breaks down the outer covering and releases the drug inside the cancer cell.
Well, I know this is man on the street talk, but wouldn't that give more of a drug dose or payload to the actual tumor cell if you did it that way versus the way they're doing it now?
Exactly. So rather than have that drug circulate into the throughout the body and cause those off-target toxicities, what you have is the cancer is being, that drug is being concentrated inside the cancer cell. The other thing on that picture that you just showed, there's a component there before the, in the very middle, below drug.
Yeah.
It's called poloxamer. Well, that's very interesting. It's part of our intellectual property, because that component of the quaternary blocks the drug efflux pump. The drug efflux pump accounts for 70 to 80% of drug resistance. And that drug efflux pump is, in essence, it's a mechanism via which the cancer cell wants to spit the drug out. So we shut the door. We leave it in there. So not only did the Trojan horse get inside, but you shut the gate. It can't get out.
Sis, and I have to believe that, you know, under peer review, this is really exciting, because this is something, you don't have a lot of competition in this area here. And I think it's talk about reverse engineering, sort of the best outcome for a biopharma company, correct?
Right. And so one of the new things that we've done, Sully, is, and this is on our website as well, is we have the quaternary, but what we can do is we can put antibodies on the outside of the quaternary. So not only what you just saw was the drug on the inside, but you can also put antibodies on the outside. Mm-hmm. And it's called an ADC, antibody drug conjugate. So what we're doing is capitalizing upon the immuno-oncology, as well as a small molecule that we have with HSP-1216.
Hey, Randy, real quick, I want to give out the website that you mentioned. It's hillstreambio.com, and you can find that on our own website, hillstreambio.com. The other thing I want to ask you about real quickly is the FDA story. Because when people hear this, and the last time you were on, I got a lot of emails asking, when, you know, it's tough for a CEO of a publicly traded biopharma company to start giving dates out there. But let's talk about where we are down the field. How are we looking in this particular therapy?
Yeah, so HSP-1216 is our lead, and that's the one I always tell the team, we have to get one through the keyhole first. And so with HSP-1216, our target is to submit the pre-IND request for the meeting at the end of the second quarter of this year. Mm-hmm. And have the IND, which the IND just enables you to go into man. So once you have the IND from the FDA, once we've done all the work that's necessary to prove that it's safe, then we can go into man, start the phase one study, start that in the fourth quarter, get first patient in the first part of 2024.
How are those patients chosen for that research?
So for the phase one, it'll be all comers, solid tumors. So we're not going to be picky as far as what patients can come in. They'll have solid tumors, and these will most likely be patients that have failed other therapies.
Oh, Randy, I want you back. I want you in studio amazing. At some point, man. Yeah. Amazing stuff you're doing there. Hillstream Biopharma.
Thank you very much.
Randy, maybe we'll see you very soon, hopefully next week. Get you back on air with us. HILS is a stock symbol, Trace. Hillstreambio.com. His name's Randy Milby. And that's just the start. More Big Biz coming up. Stand by. Goes on. Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com is where you can find us. Also, don't forget Sully Speaks Money on TikTok. Got 100,000 followers there. Got 3 million.
Blow it up.
We're putting stuff all over. Wyatt and Devin and the crew are putting stuff together, talking about the debt ceiling, talking about what else are we talking about? There's something else we're talking about.
Shorts.
Pick my shorts.
That's right.
Bam!
Ba-boom! Bam.
Would you like to come up on stage sometime and just, you know,
bam,
really play with the band?
Like kazoo or?
No, sing.
Sing, yeah.
Come and sing.
I'd love to.
Big show. We've got like a few thousand people out there.
Sure.
Would you do it?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe an Elvis number?
There we go.
That'd be kind of cool.
I was thinking Avril Lavigne. Diddly, diddly.
Oh, man. It's more my speed.
Think so.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Or maybe the Cheers song. Norm.
Everyone knows your name? Oh. See, I just walked right into it. Sorry.
Same spot every time at the bar. Hey, my good friend Martin Lehr is here. Martin Lehr is the CEO and co-founder of a company called Context Therapeutics. They are publicly traded under the stock symbol CNTX. And boy, have you seen this company in the last week. Marty is taking down brick walls and busting through them in the world of hormone-driven female cancers, and I'm bringing him back as much as I can. I want to get him into San Diego when I can. I think he actually is coming in town here very shortly, but I give you Martin Lehr. Martin, how are you, sir? Heck of a week, pal.
Yeah, not bad. Company's doing well. Philadelphia Eagles are doing well.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. You know, it was over under 10 seconds, and he was going to say something like that. Hey, I'm just going to let you take over and talk about the news that came out earlier this week. I called up Marty and I said, hey, man, you're having a great day in the market. Wish I was going to take credit for it with Big Biz Show, but apparently I have this huge press release, so I can't take credit for this one. Talk about it. It was a very big announcement, and it was a fantastic outcome.
Yeah, and so at the core, Context Therapeutics is a company focused on developing cancer treatments, particularly for women with advanced or metastatic breast, ovarian, endometrial cancer. And we announced in August a clinical partnership with a company called Stemline Therapeutics, which is a subsidiary of a 100-year-old Italian pharmaceutical company named Menarini, which probably most of your viewers have never heard of. Menarini is a large company. They have 18,000 employees. They have a deep interest in developing a women's oncology franchise. And to anchor that, they announced over the last week the approval of Orserdu, which is the newest estrogen blocker for breast cancer. And what's really important is that we are running a clinical trial with that same very drug in breast cancer to really look at two things. The drug Orserdu was approved for women with genetically defined breast cancer. So they have a particular mutation that makes them responsive to that drug. So we want to see if we can make that response even better. So women respond to drug longer, potentially live longer. Uh-huh. And then we want to see if the drug can now work in patients who don't necessarily have that genetic population. Sure. So we really value the partnership with Stemline. We think that the potential for our clinical trial with them has the opportunity to expand the use of their drug. And that means great things for women with cancer. That means better drugs, better quality of life, better outcomes. So it was a very exciting week for us. I'm sure it was exciting for for Stemline and a great start to the year for Context.
And it was great. It was great for your shareholders as well. Marty, talk to us about this estrogen thing, because we're a studio today full of men that don't understand why we need an estrogen blocker with respect to cancer. What is, can you put that in layman's terms for us?
Yeah, I'll give an analogy. I think we're all familiar with puberty. Everyone goes through it. For
Mike's
men,
going through it now. You know, he's got
exactly
got a big zit at the end of his nose right now. I haven't talked to him about.
Yeah, so you have hormones, right? For men, testosterone. For women, estrogen and progesterone, and that's what drives puberty and the maturation of our reproductive organs. And so, for women with these cancers, in some cases, those same hormones that were required for the growth of those organs, well, they get reactivated in the cancers. And so those cancers start making their own progesterone, their own estrogen, and it stimulates this wild growth of the cells. Okay. Uh-huh. And so what we try to do is block that with our drug, Ona XR, which blocks progesterone. And then the Stemline drug, or Orserdu, that blocks estrogen. So the whole idea is we know estrogen and progesterone drive these cancers and the growth of these tissues. So let's try to block both hormones and see if that can provide a better outcome for patients.
Hey, Marty, I got to ask you, and by the way, Martin Lehr is our guest. He's the CEO and co-founder of Context Therapeutics, CNTX. He's a real entrepreneur. This is what I like about Marty, is not only is he saving the world and saving lives, but he's an entrepreneur building his business and the business of the shareholders and looking for shareholder value. And I can tell you, some of the biggest companies in this world that are publicly traded are not as active as Marty is with his, and Marty's going to be one of those companies very shortly. I'm going to ask you, some of these press releases, like the press release you just put out this week, that's landmarking for you guys as a company. And I know you can't, you know, as a publicly traded company, as a CEO, can't tell us everything, but I have to ask you about 2023. I mean, you're moving along right there in the FDA sort of road. You've got lots of good verticals that are going in the right direction. Talk about what you think is going to be the outcome for 2023, and how far down the field are we going to get the ball this year?
Yeah, I think what we've guided people is 2022 was, in many aspects, a blocking and tackling year for the company, setting us up for 23, which would be our big data year. And for biotech companies like ourselves, data is what drives value for shareholders. Data means that your drugs are working, patients are benefiting, and when the patient wins, the shareholder most often wins. And so for this year, we're busy. So we've guided investors to the second and fourth quarters of the year as being the data intensive quarters. And it's not like there would be just sort of one data set in 1 month. There's going to be a pretty regular cadence across those quarters. Across our various programs and trials. So we like to think about this year as pretty consistent news flow where we'll be flipping data cards and sharing that with the public community.
Yeah, I think the exciting part of this thing is if you go to their website and do a little bit of diligence, which is contexttherapeutics.com, you can see the chart there of where they are in the arc of that FDA story. And those blue bars just keep on moving in the right direction to the right here. And I believe, you know, there's two therapies here, or there's a few therapies that we're talking about here. I can't pronounce the name of it, but the one that's in phase one, moving into phase two, talk about that just for 1 second and where we are in the journey.
Yeah. So we have two programs. One is Ona XR, it's our progesterone receptor antagonist. That drug's been in over 150 women to date.
Wow.
Our three primary clinical trials were just listed on our website that you showed. Two breast cancer trials, which we refer to as SMILE and ALONA. They all have fancy acronyms. And then a third trial in endometrial cancer that we're calling our OATH trial. All three of those trials are in mid-stage development, and all three will have material data updates this year. We also have a very cool emerging program called CTIM-76. That's about a year away from human trials. That's a new, really exciting cancer target that has potential not just for female cancers, but a broader set: lung, stomach, bladder, testicular cancer.
Wow. Marty, can't wait to see you in town here in a couple of weeks. He's going to be in studio with us. He's going to be on a couple TV shows where you get a chance to interview him one-on-one. We do a whole show with that guy. Marty, thanks, pal. Good to see you. Martin Lehr, CEO, co-founder, Context Therapeutics. Look up the stock symbol CNTX, CNTX, and coming up, more Big Biz. There's this fight going on between the Fed. Again, I got to bring up a great short read that talks about what a scam the Fed is. And I'm no conspiracy theorist here as I play the Twin Peaks theme. Pulled that one out, didn't I?
That is pretty,
that's pretty
smooth.
Good. There you go, man. Creature from Jekyll Island would be the name of the book that you should read.
So you want to know the tale of the creature from Jekyll Island, do ya?
Perfect, I got this one, Sully. The book published in 1994 by J. Edward Griffin uncovers the secret history of the United States Federal Reserve System. Our journey starts in 1910, when a group of powerful bankers meet in secret on Jekyll Island just off the coast of Georgia to draft a plan for a central banking system in the United States. The group included men like J.P. Morgan, Paul Warburg, Senator Nelson Aldrich, which a fun fact was John D. Rockefeller's father-in-law, talk about nepotism, spent a week in secrecy discussing their plan, which would eventually become the Federal Reserve. They went disguised as duck hunters in secrecy so that they wouldn't face scrutiny from the press or the public. But really, who'd have a problem with a bunch of bankers coming up with the rules for central banking?
Look, Remy, let's just forget about last night, okay? There's just too much possibility for conflict of interest.
Oh. The name of their game is bailout. The Federal Reserve was created to address a bunch of financial panics that occurred during the 19th and 20th century. You see, the Fed was designed to be a lender of last resort, so to speak. However, the Fed's ability to bail out banks leads us to a moral hazard, where banks take on unnecessarily big risks, knowing that they're going to have a bailout if anything goes wrong. Now, the Fed was originally created as protectors of the public, protecting it from financial instability and inflation, including the Great Depression, the inflation of the 1970s, and who could forget that good old 2008 financial crisis and the Great Recession. Doing great, guys. In the early years, the Fed focused on stabilizing the banking system and preventing any more bank failures. But then later, the Fed shifted its focus to controlling the economy through monetary policies, such as controlling factors like the money supply and interest rates. Sound familiar? Now, the money supply, how do you just make money? That's where they came up with the Mandrake mechanism, which pretty much means banks are only required to hold a fraction of their deposits in reserve. The rest of the deposits can be loaned out, creating new money in the process.
So let's talk about the creature that exists today.
The Fed's policies have a significant impact on inflation, employment, and economic growth. However, the Fed's independence and lack of accountability to Americans give off huge vibes of concern about its power and influence. The creature from Jekyll Island essentially argues that the Federal Reserve has been nothing but a disaster for the U.S. economy, leading to inflation, financial instability, and government debt. It suggests that a return to the gold standard and a free market approach would probably be a better alternative to the current system. Ultimately, it's a call to action for Americans to take control of their monetary system and demand more transparency and accountability from their government. All right, back to Sully and the Beef Stew Guy.
It's just like that. The employees are listening.
Yes.
I know that James and Trace will buy that. Mark will critique me on it. Brian Jordan just don't care. Big Biz Show. Great to have you along today. 100 million broadcast television homes strong. 150 radio stations in 175 countries. Sully here, Costa there, the Day Trader Trio. And of course, Dr. Devin Doan, digital dude. Yeah.
Hey. Amazing.
D5.
Dr. Devin Doan, digital dude. Yeah.
There you go. We got an email from one of you, I think it was a television audience member from across the country, about a company called Dakota Territory Resources Corp. It's interesting because we've talked about the Bakken oil fields in the Dakotas. We've talked about oil and gas. We've talked about everything except for mining in the gold universe.
Right.
So exploration, whether it's gold or oil and gas or even technology, makes us happy here. So since we get to interview all types, we get to interview a CEO today. His name is Jonathan Odd. He is the president and CEO of Dakota Territory Resources Corp. They are publicly traded under the stock symbol DC. You can go to DakotaTRC.com to find out more information. Here he is via Skype or Zoom or some technology. How are you, sir? Good to see you.
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, I've got to ask you, when you talk about opportunities in the Dakotas, okay, and I'm not just talking about specifically Dakotas, across the country, though. When we're talking about exploration resources and we're talking about opportunities in your in your space. You guys are getting popular again because this is a cyclical business in terms of investors. Investors love you, then they don't love you, then they love you again. We're back to investors love you again. Talk about that a little bit, Jonathan.
Yeah, I think in 2022, you saw record physical buying by central banks. And the Fed at the start of 2022, rates were near zero, as you talked about in the early part of your show. And they're now 4.5% to 5%. So, gold actually performed very well in every other currency with the exception of the US dollar. However, that record physical buying didn't necessarily translate into money flowing into the gold funds. So I think it's an excellent opportunity, an excellent industry to be looking at, because while there might be some short-term headwinds in front of the space and the industry, I think long-term the fundamentals are firmly in place for the sector to be more relevant and to be more at the forefront of where investors want to potentially park some money.
Jonathan, you've been in the gold business for a ton of years. Talk about why now versus, because I've seen gold go through, as I said, iterations of popularity and then sort of, it's not really a hedge for inflation. Oh, it's the best hedge against inflation. Talk about why now, because there really is a resurgence. It's almost like, remember the dot-com bubble hit in the year 2000? And then it came back with a vengeance, and the internet suddenly was everywhere, and it was everything, and it was everything it was promised to be. I feel like gold is about the same way right now. It went out of fashion for a minute. Why now, though? What do you is it because of the economic conditions right now?
Yeah. So when you look at how gold performed relative to what the Fed was doing last year with hiking rates, and we're still in this hiking cycle, it held in relatively well. So at some point, the Fed will likely have to pivot, and this is my opinion, but rates are 4.5-5%, and the U.S. is approaching now almost $2 trillion a year just to service their debt.
That's so crazy.
$2 trillion a year, all but bigger than 15 countries in the world.
Yeah,
that's not sustainable long term. So I think at some point, whether that's 6 months away or a year away, when the Fed does pivot, in my opinion, you will see an explosive move in the gold price, and therefore some of these gold equities will be 1, 2, 3, 4x higher from where they are today.
To your point, if you just look at usdebtclock.org, which I don't recommend you do, but I want you, but we're going to put it up there for you here on the screen in just a minute. usdebtclock.org looks like a speedometer.
Yeah.
When you talk about debt per U.S. citizen, debt per voter, and everything. So do you guys have that back there? Jared Coleman, they're seeking it right now, usdebtclock.org. I guess the website, everybody's on it. Because it's like the website, there it is. If you look at it closely, the $31.5 trillion in U.S. national debt, if you look very closely, it is just spinning like a speedometer. Per citizen dollar amount is $94,000 per citizen to pay it off, but per voter, $250,000 per person.
Avert your eyes, children. It may take other forms.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let you. Hey, Jonathan, talk about your company. Let's talk about what you guys do. First of all, I'm gonna tell you now, you're coming back on the air with us because I like the fact that you're an expert in this business. What do you guys do there at Dakota Territory Resources?
Yeah, so just real quick. So we are a South Dakota focused gold and exploration company with a very specific focus of revitalizing the Homestake District. So for those that don't know, the Homestake District in Leeds, South Dakota, which is where the Netflix series Deadwood was filmed.
Sure, love it.
Was one of the most important and relevant gold districts, not just in the U.S., but in the world. It produced 40 million ounces of gold over a 125-year period. And we have revitalizing the district. We've consolidated a huge chunk of land. We've done several deals with Barrick Gold. That's the second largest producer in the world behind Newmont. They bought Homestake Mining in 2001, but they acquired Homestake for other assets and projects that Homestake had in their portfolio. So the mine has been shut down for almost 20 years.
DC's a stock symbol. Hey, listen, we want to get you back. We're a little short on time, but in the next 30 seconds, I want you to tell us what you're looking most forward to for 2023 here for Dakota Territory.
Well, a lot of things, but if I was to really narrow down and talk about one or two things. We announced a discovery a few weeks ago with our drilling on one of our projects called Maitland, and we called it the Univille discovery because it was actually the name of the original claim back in the late 1800s So we're really excited about expanding this discovery. We're drilling it off right now. We've got four drill rigs turning. And then we're also drilling our Richmond Hill project that we picked up from Barrick. And we're moving towards converting.
You're busy, Jonathan. Will you come back with us even though you're so busy? I'd love to have you back as our gold expert. Come on, man. Commit to it on national TV. All right, he's done. He did it. He said he is. Now he's got a new job. He's got a third job. Jonathan, thank you, pal. Jonathan Ott, President and CEO, Dakota Territory Resources Corporation, Stocksymbol DC. Speaking of DC, here's the DTC. Much more Big Biz coming up. Big Biz Show is on the air. Great to have you along today. Here's the DTC. Come on, let's do it one more time from the top. Who of us has been taken by an online scam? Yeah.
Ooh. Almost.
Mike paid $1,600 to have that. Have that software taken off his computer.
Actually, it was a Russian bride.
Whoa, damn it.
What happened?
No, just sending away for something that, you know, was like, sure, that, what a great deal, you know? And it was men's clothing. And
Have you received the text that says your Netflix account's been hacked?
No.
Yep.
Oh. Not yet.
Have you received the text that says your PayPal account has been compromised?
I've received the PayPal one, yes.
Okay. Your purchase of a mahogany-colored leather couch for $347 has been approved. Not your purchase? Call this number.
Mm-hmm. Definitely received that one.
So I call the number, and I'm thinking to myself, first of all, hi, can I have your name, please? Yeah, Special Agent in Charge Sullivan with the FBI.
Yeah.
Click. Click.
I'm using that one.
I think I impersonated an FBI officer there for about 10 seconds, but I got the guy off the line. Here to talk about that and more is our good friend.
Mr. Steve Weissman, scamaside.com. He has saved hundreds of thousands of people.
Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars, helping them to keep hold of their money. In fact, your daughters.
Wrote the book, The Truth About a Morning Scam, and Identity Theft Alert, and about 15 others. He runs scamaside.com. Which is a great website. You should check out just every day. Honestly, it takes 10 seconds. He's got a scam of the day every day.
I love it.
And even the resurgence of what's going on. Here he is, Steve Weissman, right out of Boston. What's up, brother? How are you? Nice to see you, sir.
Good. Cold out here.
Yeah, it's cold everywhere. I'll tell you, it's down to 68 here in San Diego.
Yeah, we're sweaters.
For you.
Got a little chillier on the path. I hate to say this because you and I have had this conversation probably for 15 years this time of year. Oh. But, you know, there are Valentine's Day scams afoot. Mike likes to fancy himself a man, but, you know, he's really a romantic and he likes to sing a couple of, but, you know,
don't go
changing. Yeah, I know. So my question, Steve, is what are we looking out for this year? Because this is one of those things that just kills me. When you're paying for flowers and we never got your order, we have no idea who you are. Oh no, that was 1801flowers.com. Thank you. Steve, talk about that.
Yeah, you know, every season is scam season and they're always going to prey on whatever we're interested in. So at Valentine's, you hit it on the head with flowers. Flowers is one of the big ones. And, you know, roses in particular, very, very expensive. But you'll either get a text message, an email, or even go online and see what comes up at the top of a Google search. And you've got this florist that will give you a really great price. The problem is, whenever you're getting an email, a text message, you can't be sure if it's legit. And even when you go to the Google search, just because something comes up high, first of all, the scammers sometimes just purchase an ad, puts them up at the top.
Yeah.
Other times, what they'll do is they'll be so smart they can manipulate the algorithms so their phony website will get above the real florist. So bottom line is, certainly if it's too good to be true, probably is too good to be true in a scam. But you check them out. You know, you put the name of that florist in and you go scam. You check out, you can go online to see other people that may have used them. And you got to be careful. Frankly, with flowers, you're probably better off going local. The big one that is kind of interesting is you get a notice from a delivery system. You know, maybe it's UPS or FedEx, and someone has sent you wine or liquor. Bourbon is always good on Valentine's Day. And they tell you that
Steve, bourbon's good every day. Let's face it. Come on.
Let's face it. Yeah. So they'll say, you know, I just need your, because it's a adult beverage, I need your credit card just for identification.
Oh, that's right.
And just for identification is so we know that you're a sucker, because you give them that credit card and bam.
Yeah, we're putting a sucker database together. We need your credit card information.
I'll be first.
Hey, Steve, what are some of the things, like when you taught us many, many years ago, that when you see an email that has a Chase logo on it or a Wells Fargo logo on it, but has a misspelled word, you know, 99% of the time that that's a scam. There's also some things you can identify in an email address, as well as the top of a page when you're looking at a website, right? What are we looking for?
Yeah, you know, certainly when you get a text message, it's tough, because through a technique called spoofing, they can make that phone number appear to be anyone they want. So it can be appearing to be the legitimate number from your bank, and you may even have something to give you text alerts. Bottom line is, you can't ever be sure. So you don't give personal information or even call the number that's in there. If you get an alert that is from Chase Bank and tells you about something with your card or your account, you don't respond to that. You pick up your phone and you call the number that you know is legitimate. I'll tell you the worst thing that we're seeing a lot of, and it's called a homograph attack. You know, sometimes you look at that, it looks like it's from Chase Bank. It's got the logo, real easy to counterfeit. But you look at the address of the email that sent you, and it has nothing to do with Chase Bank. However, with a homograph, what it is they will use a Cyrillic alphabet instead of the Latin alphabet.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're looking at that thing not too carefully, the A is going to look entirely the same. But if you look really close, you'll see that it isn't. And so you really can't even trust the email address. Right. Anything that asks you to click on a link, anything that asks you for personal information, you don't trust it. You got to confirm.
Yeah, Mike gets a lot of messages in Russian.
Yeah.
Usually signed by Annika.
I'm waiting.
Hey, Steve, before he lets you get out of here, by the way, go to scamaside.com, Steve's website, where you can find all of his books. Why do we care about data breaches? We hear about data breaches all the time, and you know, your data may have been compromised, so on and so forth. Why do we care?
Well, you know, part of the thing is, certainly there's the worst of the data breaches when, like happened at Equifax, and your social security number is out there, your bank account number is out there, then they can directly attack you. But recently there was a data breach at FanDuel, the betting website. The problem is, they got emails and names. However, this is called social engineering. You're going to get an email that appears to come from FanDuel or deals with something that you're interested in, such as sports betting. Maybe it's a Super Bowl bet. And so you tend to trust it. You put your guard down. And that's the big thing. If you belong to FanDuel, if you use them, you've got to be super, super careful. Any email that is asking you for anything, because it may look real legit,
sure,
deals with something you're interested in, but it's a scam.
His name is Steve Wiseman. He is the Scam Man. Go to scamaside.com, of course, and pick up one of his several books, but visit that website every single day and save yourself some time. All right, that does it for us. We're out of here. Read the titles. You can tell who's on. Jared Coleman, Curtis Manovich, Devin Doan, Jason Banks.